This is KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. Coming up, Sublicity with Dan Zhang. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the Regents of the University of California, nor the management of KUCI.
Get your ice boxes bare, beat the rims. Show your thumb if you can, beat the rims. Pull the rich ass of a flower back to shame. Standing out with all the love we know who's to blame. And I'm tired of living your life, best of the day. Beat the rims. Yum, yum, yeah, beat the rims. Yum, yum, yes. Chemicals in your food. Eat the ribs.
Yum, yum, yeah.
But don't you think that that's rude? Come, eat the ribs.
Yum, yum, yeah.
Oh, bitch, that's the power of a bag to shame. Spreading out the love of what we know who's to blame. And I'm tired of living the life. Best of it, yeah. Eat the ribs. Yum, yum, yeah, eat the ribs.
Yum, yum,
yeah. Yum, yum, yeah. You got the poverty blues. Eat the ribs.
Yum, yum, yeah.
You ain't got nothing to lose. So go on, eat the ribs.
Yum, yum, yeah.
Oh, the rich has the power of a bank to shame. Spreading out the problem, but we know who's to blame. And I'm tired of living in life. Best of it, yeah, eat the ribs.
Yum,
yum, yeah, eat the ribs.
Yum,
yum, yeah.
Hi, this is Dan Zhang here with Sublicity. With us on the phone is William Bloom, who's the author of a couple of books analyzing U.S. Foreign policy and COVID action, especially abroad. And in the wake of the 9/11 disaster and also the start of this war against terrorism, we thought it would be interesting to have some dissenting voices on this alternative radio station. So welcome, William.
Hi, Dan.
Yeah, it's why did you what do you think is actually happening now? Do you think the war on terrorism will actually succeed?
Oh no, I think the war on terrorism is as doomed as the war on drugs. Not for the same reasons. The war on terrorism is doomed because it's not aimed at the motivations of terrorists. It assumes that these were a bunch of crazy people who just, for some odd reason, hate American so-called freedom and then democracy and wealth, and just attack the U.S. because of those things, not because of what has been done to the Middle East. There's a long list of actions of U.S. foreign policy against the Middle East, all kinds of bombings and shooting down of planes and ships full of people, and support of Israel, of course, and a huge military presence and high-tech presence in Saudi Arabia, the holiest land of Islam. All kinds of reasons why people in the Middle East would hate U.S. foreign policy. I don't say they hate America, which is a very common expression. That implies they hate American people or what have you. I think they hate American foreign policy. And what we're doing now in Afghanistan is just going to add one more item to that list of reasons for people in the Middle East to hate American foreign policy.
I've seen some statistics now. I guess some data is coming out on number of civilians killed in this war. I guess collateral damage, I guess.
Well, there was a report today of the Afghan government claims that one missile of yesterday killed about 200 people.
So do you think, I guess it's almost, now they continue to bomb, right? I guess we just lost our guest. We're going to get him back. Charlie. So let's take another musical break.
Show your stomach if you can. Eat the ribs. Pull the rib chest of a flower back to shame. Swearing out the wrong and what we know who's to blame. And I'm tired of living in life. Best if you can. Eat the ribs. Yum, yum, yeah. Eat the ribs. Yum, yum, yeah. Chemicals in your food. Eat the ribs. Don't you think that that's rude? Gone, eat the ribs.
Yum, yum, yeah.
Pull the rib chest with flour, a bag of shame. Spread it out for all the love we know who's to blame. And I'm tired of living little life. Best to get, eat the ribs.
Yum, yum,
yeah. Yum, yeah. Eat the ribs.
Yum, yum,
yeah. Yum, yum, yeah. You got the poverty blues. Eat the ribs. Ain't got nothing to lose, so go on, eat the ribs.
Yum, yum, yeah.
Pull the rib chest of the flower, a bag to shame. Spreading out the problem, but we know who's to blame. And I'm tired of living the life, best to get, eat the ribs.
Yum, yum,
yeah. Yum, yum, yeah, eat the ribs.
Yum, yum,
yeah. Yum, yum, yeah. This is the part of the song I like a lot. Get to look at the menu. Sure looks delicious. Makes my mouth just water. Says here that melons are always in season. They got spaghettis and meatballs. Spaghettis
and meatballs.
I said spaghettis and meatballs. Spaghettis
and meatballs.
Now some folks, but they like a oyster like a fella.
A oyster like a fella.
Not me, I like to watch TV and eat Hearst Pat is on high.
Oh yeah, Hearst Pat is on high.
We even got something for all of you, your organic freaks.
Organic freaks!
They got rose hip tea and it's hip you see. Cause the rose is the hip of a
guinea.
Eat the ribs.
Yum, yum,
yum, yum, yeah. Eat the ribs.
Yum, yum.
Yum, yum, yeah, eat the
rib. We're back on the line. There's a little bit of interference. Can you hear?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay, sorry about that. I'm not sure what happened.
Anyway. Probably the FBI.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, you were talking about why you think the war is going to be unsuccessful. And is it because you think that it's bombing people are just going to make them hate you more?
Well, why not? I mean, are there any people in the world who don't get upset by being bombed? The answer is obvious. I think...
How about dropping some food packets along the way?
Oh, yeah, that helps a lot. The bombing has caused the people who normally supply food aid to leave the country en masse. The UN and other organizations, which were attempting to stave off the starvation a bit, they've been forced to flee because of the bombing. So there's even less food coming in now than before. I think what the U.S. Is aiming for in this whole thing is to, one, to make sure that a government comes into power in Afghanistan, which, if not a client state of Washington, is going to be very amenable to Washington's wishes, and also to allow the U.S. to establish one or more bases, military bases, in Afghanistan, as will be the case in Uzbekistan and probably some other neighboring nations. We have to keep in mind that after the Gulf War, the U.S. somehow wound up with bases all over the Gulf region. In Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and elsewhere. And after the bombing of Serbia, after the U.S. involvement in the Balkans, we also wound up with a bunch of bases in Kosovo and Macedonia, Croatia, and so on. And the base in Kosovo is, I think, the largest U.S. base in Europe. So after this bombing, the U.S. expects to wind up with some more bases. And this is part of the expansion and the enhancement of the American empire.
So you think there are larger goals at hand? I mean, it's not just trying to stop this particular people that may have perpetrated this.
Well, they if they wanted to stop any further attacks of terrorism, this is the worst thing they can do. And as far as finding some particular people, this doesn't seem to be a very wise policy. They don't know if Bin Laden is even in the country. Even if he's guilty, they have not shown any evidence which has impressed anybody except Tony Blair and people at NATO. So the whole thing is a farce.
I had a guest on a few weeks ago, Michel Trusadovsky, a professor of economics from Canada, and he actually didn't like this whole idea of the blowback theory, because he said that the CIA is actually, or the U.S. CIA is still hosting Bin Laden, because CIA created the Pakistani intelligence service, and they know where he is, so they really know where he is. It's not...
The U.S. knows where he, some places that he has been, where he is tonight or tomorrow. I mean, those are separate questions.
No, but he's arguing that the U.S. is still hosting, is behind Bin Laden still, I guess.
I would be very surprised. What does he mean by hosting? That they're in close contact with him, and that he's an ally, they're not after him?
But the U.S. didn't the U.S. give the Taliban millions of dollars recently?
And in the spring, like $42 or $43 million, supposedly to help them in their anti-drug efforts. What the money was actually spent for, or even what the money was actually intended for, I don't know. It's very easy to see a conspiracy behind almost anything done by the U.S. government, because often there is. Like now, they don't care about the people of Pakistan. They don't. They want to expand the empire, and they also want to. They're very interested in the huge amounts of oil and gas in the Caspian Sea area, and Afghanistan is a very geographically suitable place to run pipelines through. That wouldn't be mentioned by anyone in our government. I don't know any evidence that they're actually supporting or hosting, as you say, Bin Laden. I'd have to see something. I mean, that's just speculation.
I guess he's looking back at the history of U.S. involvement in Afghanistan, I guess, and I mean, just the covert action activities, and he's basically, I guess, suggesting that it hasn't, they haven't cut ties, that they're still involved, I guess.
Yeah, but has he indicated any evidence of that?
I think his website has all his articles that he's, I guess the way he's doing it is he's reading, based on his research, he's arguing that, so...
Yeah, well, I'd have to see what he says. I have actually downloaded some of his stuff, but I haven't had a chance to read it. I've been so overwhelmed by the events. Although, you know, we have to keep in mind that after the Gulf War, after the major bombing there, 40 days and 40 nights, the U.S. had completely destroyed the Iraqi army and the entire military complex. They could easily have gone into Baghdad and captured or killed Saddam Hussein, and they didn't. Now, people since then have been saying, oh, that was a mistake, that was a blunder. I don't think so. I think they purposely did not want to oust him because it was not known who would succeed him. The U.S. had allies in that area who would have been very dismayed if any kind of democratic government had taken over in Iraq. That would be embarrassing for the autocratic governments of Saudi Arabia and Kuwait, to name two examples. They also would have been upset if the Kurds in Iraq had gotten a significant voice in a new government. That would be embarrassing and rather awkward for the other nations in the area who also have a, quote, Kurd problem, unquote. And God forbid any kind of progressive people took over. I mean, see, you had all these scenarios, all distasteful to the American powers that be, and that may be, that may well be the reason why they did not go any further and take on Saddam himself. And so there is a precedent in them not doing what the world would think is the obvious thing. The world thought obviously they have to go and take out Saddam. Now they think obviously they have to go out and take out Bin Laden. So there is that much I will grant to the speculation that there's more between the U.S. and Bin Laden than meets the eye.
But the Northern Alliance is no humanitarian group, right?
Oh, of course not. And no one even claims that, even themselves maybe. They are a mixture of people who were so cruel and engaged in raping so much that when they were defeated by the Taliban, the people of Afghanistan were happy. They welcomed the Taliban as an improvement over the Northern Alliance. That's how bad the alliance is. And we know how oppressive the Taliban is. So if these people are even worse, there's no hope at all for the people of Afghanistan. There are other factions besides the alliance and the Taliban. I mean, there are people, some people, I guess, are still alive from the previous government, the one which the U.S. overthrew.
Right.
The whole purpose of the U.S. intervention in Afghanistan in the 1980s was to overthrow a government which was in place, which was, compared to what we have now amongst our choices, that government was very progressive and liberal. It was a secular government. It favored the emancipation of women. It was looking to do some kind of land reform and things like that. They were a progressive government. But their fatal mistake in the eyes of Washington was that they were supported by the Soviet Union. Which, from the point of view of the Soviets, they had very good reason to support them. The Soviets didn't want to have an anti-communist Muslim state on their border any more than Washington at the time, or even now, would want a communist state in Mexico. But the mere fact of the Soviets supporting this government was enough for the U.S. to go in and start this whole terrible cycle of horror.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was just reading an article that the Academia and Action Group was passing out today on the table. That's a local anti-war group that's been organizing on campus, and they were passing out an article from Workers' World, actually, by Deirdre Griswold, talking uh-huh. about the progressive nature of the character of that previous government that was ally of the Soviets and that the U.S. Overthrew. And so it did detail how they were moving towards emancipating women, and it was basically a progressive
government. I don't mean to imply that they were great revolutionaries. It's all relative. I mean, there were several different leaders in the late 70s until the mid 80s. There was a succession of leaders of that government. And one in particular named Amin was rather authoritarian and even brutal at times, and he was ousted by the Soviets. He may well have been a CIA agent. There's good evidence to think that. He was the worst of the bunch. The others were much nicer than him.
How about this idea of propping up this old monarch?
The king.
Yeah.
That's an act of desperation. I mean, he would satisfy Washington because he's very pro-Western.
Right.
But he's lived in Italy, I think it is, for decades.
Yeah.
So he would satisfy Washington, but
he's 81 or something, right?
He's in his 80s.
Yeah.
But even Washington has to have some embarrassment about establishing a monarchy. We are a country which actually, after all, was founded on being anti-monarchist. So he would be rather awkward. But as I say, I don't doubt that Washington would like him in power. They would have to handle him very gingerly. They would have to use all their considerable PR skills.
What do you think of this whole issue of unleashing the CIA and saying that now they can hire, ruthless people?
Yeah,
but aren't they already hiring them?
That and the so-called, and calling for an end to the Bannon assassinations. Both these things are total falses. The Bannon assassination has never been followed. In fact, since it was first formulated or stated by
President Ford, right?
President Ford in 1976. Since that time, it's been officially overturned at least twice by Reagan, and I think once by Bush Sr., whenever it suited their purposes. And as recently as 2 years ago, we attempted to assassinate Slobodan Milosevic. We got bombs on his house where he lived. And that is not an assassination attempt. I hate to know what it is.
I guess they mean man-to-man combat, maybe.
Oh, man-to-man. Yeah, it has to be man. The ban was on killing foreign leaders. There was nothing about mano a mano.
Actually, I looked at it. Actually, on the CIA site, there's actually a reference to the executive order. And
yeah.
It doesn't say leaders. It just says assassination. It doesn't mention leaders, actually.
So it has not been followed since that. In one of my books, I have a list of the attempts at assassination by the U.S. government. Actually, it's since the Second World War, but even since 1976, when Ford issued this executive order, there have been several attempts at assassination, including a few attempts on the life of Gaddafi of Libya. And attempts on the life of Sandinista leaders in the 1980s, plus several others, and Saddam Hussein and Milosevic. And of course, in 1998, they attempted to kill Osama bin Laden when they bombed Afghanistan then. So there's been a whole host of these attempts. So to say now, for people to call for an end to this ban is comical. It's the same with the supposed ban on the CIA associating with, quote, unsavory, unquote, characters. I don't know of any evidence to indicate that they have ever attempted to follow that ban. And, in fact, the whole idea of separating the CIA from these unsavories is fallacious.
It's not actually a ban, is it? I mean, it's not really a ban. It just means they had to go get it approved.
Right. You're right. I don't know of any examples where they even bothered to ask for approval. These unsavories, contrary to what we're told, they were not people that the CIA associated with.
KUCI.
Oh.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay, hang on. Let me, can you hold on?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
These people...
Yeah, go ahead.
These so-called unsavories were not people that the CIA associated with against their wishes. These unsavories were people fighting on the same side of various civil wars that the U.S. was intervening on. They were allies of the U.S. government in these civil wars. And we championed their cause because it was our cause as well. And we chose many of them to attend schools in the U.S. We wined them and we dined them. We gave them graduation certificates. We even gave them prostitutes when they wanted it, when they were in town. here. We armed them. We gave them their weapons and their uniforms. And we taught them how to make bombs, how to assassinate, how to interrogate, which means torture, and so on. These were close friends. The CIA people socialized with them. They were drinking buddies. So now this idea that these are some kind of aliens whom the CIA have to hold their nose while talking to is propaganda.
How about sending in, I mean, it looks like, you know, if bombing doesn't work, does sending in special forces on the ground, does that work?
For what purpose? To find Bin Laden?
Well, for one, I suppose, yeah. I mean, that's what they claim they're doing.
Well, they would suffer casualties then. And the U.S. military has not shown itself willing to suffer any casualties in combat in recent years. They bomb from 15,000 feet away. What's his name? The TV host Bill Maher.
Bill Maher, yeah, got in trouble for
lost
that. For
his
saying
job.
That.
Well, I'm not sure if it's permanent, but he lost for a while.
He didn't
because
really,
he dared to imply that the real cowards were the U.S. military and not the terrorists.
He, I guess some sponsors pulled out.
But I think his program was canceled a few times also, and I've been able to find him in the past week. I've looked for his program.
Oh, really? Huh.
I'm not sure if he's back on or not. But, you know, one takes a big risk in this country, in this nation of free speech, if one questions foreign policy. Foreign policy is very sacrosanct here. One can say almost anything about domestic policy, but if you start questioning foreign policy in a serious manner, especially when it comes to any kind of military activity, you are branded a traitor, and much worse. I myself, because of some things I've written lately and because of some speeches I've made, I've been getting hate mail for weeks now, very, very deeply hateful and cursing mail. I'm not especially bothered by it, but that's what you get if you dare to question foreign policy. They attack you for not being patriotic enough.
Are these from people that were in the audience, or how did, or that read your website, or what?
Well, I gave a talk a few weeks ago at the University of North Carolina, and that speech itself was received very well from the audience. But afterwards, the speech was posted on an internet site of some faculty at the university, and from there it made its way around the internet, my speech, and that has inspired many people to crawl out of the woodwork and send me these really hateful emails.
So do you think the polls are correct in saying that 90% support the war effort? 90%.
Well, you know, it all depends on what question you ask. You know, if you just ask simply, do you support the war effort, of course they're going to say yes. But if you said, for example, would you support the war effort even if it means killing many civilians, the results would be less favorable. In fact, that question was asked, I believe, in one poll, and it was still a high percentage of yes, but it was much less than the simple question, do you support the war? If I thought about it, I could pose some other questions which would bring the figures down even lower. The American public, like the public anywhere, is very easily manipulated. They when it comes to such things, they don't know what they really believe when it comes to foreign policy. And you can put almost any thought in their mind if you ask the right question in the right way. They just are very unsophisticated, and one should not wonder why dictatorships arise and easily brainwash their citizenry.
We're talking with William Bloom, the author of a number of books on U.S. foreign policy, especially covert action. And the number here is 949-824-5824, if you want to call in and chat with our guests. This is KCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the Regents of the University of California nor the management of KCI. Bill, do you think the U.S. is is correct in arguing that, you know, because I've heard it said that we don't have to get rid of this ban on assassination because now we're acting in self-defense and we can do that. We can go kill people.
Yeah, I have read analyses of the self-defense provisions of the UN Charter and of the NATO Accord, and I can't cite those things word for word now, but it made it very clear to me that this is a very questionable take on those provisions of those accords.
But wasn't U.S. attacked? I mean, would you agree?
But it was not by a country. I mean, the whole idea of the UN and NATO is those institutions deal with nations, not with individuals. NATO was set up supposedly to be a barrier to the Soviet Union invading Western Europe, not as a barrier to some individual communist from Moscow invading Western Europe, or some handful of individuals. The whole idea of the NATO or the UN being set up to defend against individuals is absurd. The whole spirit of these institutions is not geared to that.
You know, today they were saying that because it's an anniversary of the attack on the coal, I guess, there would have been some action today or in the U.S. or whatever. But of course, I guess nothing happened today, huh?
Not that I've heard of, but the evening is still young.
But I was just thinking the FBI could then take credit if nothing happens that they stopped it, I guess. Because they're issuing all these warnings every few days saying something's going to happen.
Every day. The headline in the Washington Post every day is just it's getting more absurd. I mean, today's headline, let me check, I think it was today. This is a big headline on page one of the Washington Post. Terrorist attacks imminent, FBI warns. I mean, in inch-high letters, terrorist attacks imminent, FBI warns. I mean, what does that mean? You know, in one of my books, I discuss a period of a few years in the 1990s and until 2000 of all the scare stories put out by the FBI and the Pentagon and the CIA and the military, and the police. I collected them. I have a whole list of these scare headlines. And about terrorist attacks. And then I say that this helps to enhance the budget of these agencies, and it helps the careers of the individual people in these agencies. They have a purpose in life. I mean, who's going to give the FBI a huge budget and larger and larger every year, or the Pentagon, if there are not enemies out there? The scarier the better. And how are these officials in these institutions going to advance their careers without these scare tactics or without these enemies? And it makes them feel like they're doing something worthwhile. It helps their own ego and their own psyche to think that they are at the forefront of fighting a horrible monster out there. But until the action of last month, what actually happened was quite the opposite. I'm looking for some figures here about the actual terrorist attacks in the world over the five-year period. Here it is. Okay. This is from the State Department, these figures. In the five-year period of 1993 to 1998, the number of actual terrorist attacks by region was as follows. Western Europe, 766. Latin America, 569. Middle East, 374. Asia, 158. Eurasia, 101. Africa, 84. North America, 14. I mean, so we were really getting a widespread PR job put on us for the years and years. Now, finally, there was obviously a very, very serious attack. That doesn't justify all those years of scaring the American public, which is starting again, and I think it's mainly for the reasons I expressed, for their budgets and for their own careers.
But you think they, because now they're saying that the reason they couldn't, the CIA, for instance, couldn't predict this was because it couldn't wiretap phones the way they wanted it?
Yeah, well, they would have to know, to prove that, or even come close to proving that, they would have to say that there was a conversation between A and B a week before the attacks of the 11th, and we couldn't listen in because it was against the law. And if we had listened in, we probably would have avoided this whole attack. You know, they would have to show you that. You know, otherwise, they're asking you to take it on faith that if you give them more power and more money and more personnel, they'll stop it. There's no reason to assume that. I should have added, along with the budget increases and the enhancements of the agencies and careers, there's the enhancement of laws. We're following the Oklahoma City bombing, there was a major anti-terrorist law passed in Congress, which greatly increased the powers of the government to poke into people's private lives.
Also
following
that,
this, it's going to be, obviously, there's going to be a new one, even more insidious.
Yeah, as we talk, I think the Senate has voted, and other amendments are being, other revisions of existing law being worked on
And without doubt, anyone, and I'm not speaking just of aliens or people from the Middle East, plenty white middle-class people who have any contact with a foreign organization are going to be subject to all kinds of communication interception and arrest and imprisonment.
I remember that, from the 60s, there was a story of some kid who rode away to the Soviet embassy or some government, some Eastern European country, asking for material, and then they started an FBI file on this kid because he had asked for material from a prohibited country.
Oh, yeah, I mean, this has been going on for years and years, but it's been getting worse because of the new laws, and now with the laws being discussed now, it's going to be even worse. I think already the U.S. is a police state, which is not to say it's the worst police state in the world, but it is a police state. I think the war
all
by itself makes it a police state. And now, with what's happening now, it's going to be even worse.
You know, these 600 people that have been rounded up since 9/11, are most of them held on immigration charges, or what are they held on?
Some of them are being held on traffic violations, or they were. I mean, perhaps they're not being held now, but they were for a while. Whatever the government can think of. You know, if the government wants to find something, some reason to hold somebody, they will always find it. They can find something about me, I'm sure. always something.
Yeah, there were some Israelis that were detained, I think. People thought they were, suspicious Middle Easterners, and there was an article in the New York Times about them.
Yeah, speaking of the Israelis, you may have seen the stories on the Internet that Israel had informed all the Israeli employees who worked at the World Trade Center to not go to work that day.
Really? I didn't. Is that a myth, or is that real?
Well, it said, the story was that there were 4,000 Israelis working there, and they were told to stay home that day, and all their lives were saved. Now, that figure of 4,000 sounds very exaggerated, but the figures which have come put forth by the New York Times and by other papers in the government they show 100-something Israelis dying, but I spoke to the Israeli embassy a few days ago here in Washington, and I asked them how many Israelis had died in the attacks. They said there were only a total of 7 people either killed or missing. I think there are only two at the World Trade Center, which is a very low number. Of course, we don't know how many Israelis were working there. To really judge this, you would have to know how many were working there.
People from Israel, yeah.
Yeah, but it's the figures are much lower than for many other countries. That was a very international pair of buildings.
Yeah.
So it does make one wonder whether there's something to these reports or this speculation.
So you're saying that maybe Israeli intelligence knew about this?
They knew enough about something, yeah, concerning the World Trade Center buildings to warn their citizens. That's the theory behind the speculation. And after speaking to the Israeli embassy and finding out these figures of dead and missing were so very, very low, I have to wonder, even though I'm sure the figure of 4,000 is an exaggeration.
You know, the total numbers actually went down. I saw a report in the USA Today last weekend that showed that the total number of casualties, of deaths, went down by 1,400 because the estimates of the missing, because some people didn't report them, their relatives coming back, or...
Right.
There were multiple reports of the same person as being missing.
We may never know the full count.
Right.
I've been looking to see a list of the casualties somewhere by name. Have you ever seen
There's one, yeah. The Philadelphia Inquirer site has a website,
really?
And you can search it by city also. So it's pretty useful. You can actually find out everybody by name, everybody that died in the Pentagon even.
Oh.
And you can actually search by location of death, by the airline.
You search by nationality?
No, you can search by last name,
and by name,
and also by city and state.
Okay.
So it's actually,
thank you.
Go to the Philadelphia Inquirer website, the paper.
I will.
Yeah.
Okay.
And actually, I have a link. There's a news page that I put up, news resources page. It's go.fast.2, gofast2, and then /news.
That's on your site.
No, you can just type it in go.fast.2.
Go.what?
Fast, F-A-S-T.
Oh,
and then period, and then two, T-O, T-O, and then slash, news. Go fast to news. Separate.
That's after the W's, right?
No, go fast to news.
Oh, the URL begins with dot fast?
No, go, G-O, dot, F-A-S-T.
Oh, okay.
Dot, and then T-O.
Okay.
And then slash news.
Yeah. Okay.
Go fast to news, basically, but with separated by periods, and go fast to and then slash news.
Okay.
Then you can get to the news page. Yeah.
Okay.
And for the subversity page, it's just go.fast.2/sv for subversity.
Okay.
You can find links to articles that you've written that I've linked on about today's show.
Oh yeah.
And you actually wrote an article about terrorism, about how we look at terrorism in America. It's interesting that we don't think of America. I mean, most people don't think of America as a terrorist organization, obviously.
I'm not sure which article you're speaking of.
Well, you had a chapter on terrorism, on the war on terrorism or something, and you were saying, I mean, most Americans probably don't look at America as being guilty of state-sponsored terrorism.
You speak about being a haven for terrorists?
Or being America as guilty of state terrorism.
Well, we're certainly guilty of state terrorism, but I don't know which article of mine you're referring to.
I mean, you wrote a book on the rogue state, and you...
Right, I have a chapter on how the U.S. is a haven for terrorists, which is quite... contrary to what we're told. The night of the 9/11, George Bush announced that states who harbor terrorists will be hunted down just as much as the terrorists themselves. And who in his audience would have believed that he was the so-called president of a country which harbors more terrorists, perhaps, than any other nation in the world. For example, the anti-Castro Cubans in Miami, they are guilty of hundreds of very serious terrorist acts over the years, and they have been protected by the government 99% of the time. and they're still there. Many terrorists, many serious terrorist acts of bombings and murders and shooting down of a bombing a Cuban airplane which killed 76 people. The man who was the mastermind of that plane bombing, Orlando Bosch.
Right.
He not only lives in Miami in peace. The city of Miami at one time in the past had a day in his honor. It was Orlando Bosch Day in Miami. This was after he had been imprisoned in Venezuela for this bombing thing. The city of Miami honored him with a day, and then at one point in his career, when he was actually imprisoned because of some bazooka firings at an East European ship docked in the U.S., he was imprisoned, and he was pardoned by George Bush Sr. And with all the fuss made about Clinton pardoning a financier, there was never a word said about what George Bush Sr. had done in the way of pardons.
So, yeah, so you're saying that there's a double standard going on.
yeah, one could call it that, or one could call it hypocrisy. As far as harboring terrorists, yeah. I mean, and it's not just the Cubans.
Right.
There are terrorists from all over Latin America,
Chile, and
Indonesia,
yeah,
and elsewhere that have lived here in peace for years and years.
How about this? There's a law, actually, isn't there, against people going and attacking a foreign country from the shores of America?
Yeah, it's called the Neutrality Act. It's supposed to be illegal.
But the FBI doesn't really care.
Cubans have been doing it repeatedly for decades and decades. Maybe once every 5 or 10 years, somebody gets a slap on the wrist, or maybe a fine, or maybe a few months in prison or something. But that's hardly a barrier, or hardly a disincentive to them, when they keep on doing it.
What do you think of this chorus yesterday from the networks to agree not to air Bin Laden's speeches? So-called live. I mean, they weren't really live, but unedited, I guess they mean. But, I mean, isn't that incredible that they would agree to something in advance of what they know is coming out?
The contradictions are obvious. There's a thing called free speech and so on. But the media, when it comes to, again, to foreign policy, it's so sacrosanct. The media has no guts at all when it comes to foreign policy. Can anyone name a single daily newspaper in America that unequivocally opposed the bombing of Iraq? Can anyone name a single daily newspaper in America which unequivocally opposed the bombing of Serbia, or now the bombing of Afghanistan? I mean, I don't know about now for sure, because I haven't. It's too soon, maybe. But I don't know of any paper, any daily newspaper, which opposed either of those two other major bombing interventions. And that says quite a bit, I think. I mean, the odds are against it. You have a few thousand daily newspapers. The odds are against it, or should be, that not one would unequivocally oppose a U.S. foreign policy action of this kind. And yet that seems to be the case. Maybe someone in your audience can point out some daily paper which did oppose these actions.
Probably some alternative papers.
I'm speaking of it. I said purposely a daily newspaper, which is what most Americans read.
Yeah, yeah, that's too bad, but I suppose that's true. How about this idea that they had to do this because, I mean, censor themselves beforehand, because Condoleezza, what's her name?
Condoleezza Rice.
They say she wasn't very coercive. She was a nice person. And she just asked and explained that maybe they're sending secret messages over the waves, airwaves.
Yeah, right. Or secret messages hidden in the video images.
Right.
I mean, they can tell us anything they want. You know, if they can't if they don't have a good reason for their to state for their policy, they'll make up one. The simple fact is that they don't want anything to or anyone to question what they're doing, and to allow Bin Laden's message to be heard here is too much like questioning American policy, and it shows him to be. It shows that he doesn't have horns. I mean, I despise him and what he stands for, but he when people see that he doesn't have horns, and he's not foaming at the mouth, and that he looks even human, you know, that's not good for the PR job, which accompanies any military action by the U.S.
Do you think they do you think the CIA should be unleashed to have more like ground people, I guess. They say, you know, the electronic surveillance and others may not be working, so we need actual covert, you know, what
I'm
about
sure
agents.
The CIA has been and will continue to do whatever it wants to do. There's no shortage of money, and it's the money is increasing all the time. You know, with following the events of 9/11. The budgets of the CIA and other agencies has gone up fantastically. They have no shortage of anything. They can do all those things.
But you think it's true? I mean, the argument that the reason they didn't predict this was because they didn't have human agents on the ground that infiltrated these groups.
Well, they have admitted that they can't get human agents into places like Afghanistan. Oh. They have a great shortage of assets who speak Arabic,
yeah,
and who could pass as Islamic fundamentalists. I mean, it's not an easy thing to pass as.
Maybe they should go to acting school instead.
Yeah, and they certainly couldn't bring their wives along on such a posting. It would be very difficult. It's very, very difficult for the CIA to find anyone who can infiltrate that milieu. It was much easier during the Cold War. They could easily find people who could who were from all over Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union who could pass anything they wanted to. It was very easy to have spies all over the place, but this is a whole new kind of enemy and a whole new kind of milieu.
Well, a few years ago, you know, I was, as you know, I had my own case against the CIA for spying, and they actually told the CIA attorney, counsel, I guess, told my lawyers at the ACLU that they wanted the right to be able to spy on me if I went to a mosque and met with a terrorist.
If you went to a mosque?
Yeah, right.
Are you in the habit of going to a mosque?
I guess I wanted to reserve the right to visit.
Maybe they associate any foreigner on the left with being an Islamic fundamentalist.
Or that we were like go-betweens between, you know.
Yeah, right.
Whatever. So it was funny that they actually brought this as an example of why they had the right to spy on people.
They'll say whatever comes to mind, and the average American will swallow it without gagging.
So how about, what do you think about the news recently, like yesterday, I guess, there was news that American military advisors have landed in Manila now.
What's happening there?
That they're expanding this war against terrorism to Asia, to the rest of Asia, to Manila, to Philippines, Indonesia, and another country in Asia. That the U.S. I guess land forces are gonna go back to the Philippines, and
that may be a prelude to reopening some of their bases, which were closed in the Philippines.
Yeah, they're working on that. They're trying to get the government to agree to that.
That's what they want to do. They want to expand the American empire as much as possible in the form of bases and other kinds of military installations. Very important, communications interception stations. That's what they like to have all over the place, too. And so that's also a motivation. Once they get there, they work their way into the military, all things are possible. That's the main rationale for the very extensive military-to-military contact between the Pentagon and foreign military services. They cultivate foreign militaries very carefully, and they've been doing so for years and years. That's the reason for the School of the Americas. It's to cultivate these people, to have them in place back in their home countries, to in effect be agents of the U.S. military. And so these pay off. You know, they have contacts all over the world that way.
Were there people from Afghanistan trained there originally?
At the SOA?
Yeah. School of the Americas.
I think it's only
Americas. Oh, I see.
Right, but there are other schools, of course, besides the SOA.
And that's true.
I don't know offhand. I imagine during the war of the 1980s, the U.S. was training Afghanis. Yeah, that they were in various places, like in Pakistan.
Uh-huh.
There were several such centers set up in Pakistan.
You know, the latest report I read was that this training, talking about the bombing now, the training center that they were bombing, the so-called training thing, has stopped becoming a training center, and was Afghanis were actually living there, civilians were living there since 92 or something.
Yeah.
And the U.S. apparently bombed this place because they didn't know that it had a different function. And they said from the air, it looks like a terrorist training camp, I guess.
They did kill four UN workers who were working on the clearing of landmines 2 days ago.
Right. So I'm sure as we, you know, as the weeks go on, we're going to hear more and more about civilian casualties.
Right, and it'll be explained away, all with the best of intentions and collateral damage, as we did when we spoke of Serbia, even though NATO leaders on several occasions made it very clear that they were purposely targeting civilians so that they would become very disenchanted and even hateful of Slobodan Milosevic, and perhaps at best overthrow the man.
What do you think of the role of like John Conyers and people like that in Congress who are progressive but yet on important committees? Are they able to stop things or slow things down or what?
Well, the vote in the Senate yesterday for the anti-terrorism bill, as you said, I think was unanimous.
I think there was one vote against it, maybe. Can't remember.
I think maybe there was one, yeah. I think it was maybe 97-1. When it comes to war, it's very difficult to get an anti-war spirit in Congress. They're so afraid of being labeled unpatriotic in their next campaign for re-election. That's their biggest fear. What they actually think of the war, or any war we engage in, is not too relevant. They are much more concerned with avoiding such charges in their next campaign.
So it's basically survivability. That's the main issue. Electoral survivability.
That's one of the kinder words one could use. Yeah.
So are you optimistic, or you feel that
about what?
About the future.
About the world?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I think everything is going to be just peachy dandy in a few weeks. All poverty will be ending, and all violence, and all surveillance of people here. Yeah.
Well, maybe you could. I know that.
Which makes me very has been very very satisfying. Perhaps you've noticed the media since 9/11 has been printing things I never thought I would see in Time magazine, in the Washington Post, in USA Today, and several other major mainstream publications. They have been forced into facing the question of why. Why did this happen? Why are we so hated?
Yeah, I think
they have been forced into long articles saying all kinds of things they would never have said before.
Why they hate us, yeah.
You know, they've been forced to admit many, many things. The Washington Post allowed Fidel Castro to ramble on about American imperialism
right.
without any snide remarks even. Huh. that's been a remarkable phenomenon, and that does make me pleased. Whether it'll last after this is over, who knows?
Well, on that point, I guess we time is up. And thank you very much.
Can I mention my email address?
Yeah,
if anybody wants any further information about my books, they can reach me at bblum6@aol.com.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Also, the his website is actually listed at the Subversity webpage release for today's show, and that's go.fast.2/SV. Or you can go to the KUCI.org page and click on Subversity on today's schedule. Coming up, Swope Transmission. This is KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. The opinions expressed on the show were not necessarily those of the Regents of the University of California nor the management of KUCI. And that interview was with William Bloom, who's the author of Rogue State, A Guide to the World's Only Superpower and Killing Hope, U.S. Military and CIA Interventions Since World War II. And both books are published by Common Courage Press. Oh, hi.
When your icebox is bare, eat the ribs. Show your stomach you care.